Kent Biz Connect on Radio Ashford with Martin White.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Biz Connect radio show. Lovely to have you tuned in and with us today. There might have been a slight power outage, I think, on the station earlier on, along with some houses and businesses locally, I'm sure. But hopefully we're coming through loud and clear now. We'll be with you for the next hour or so. We've got a mix of fabulous conversation and music, as always, chosen by our special show guest today. You can follow us on social media and tweet us live at Kent_Biz. And we also have dedicated LinkedIn and Facebook show pages. So please search for us at Biz Connect, a radio show. And we also have a website, and you can download this show and listen again later on today. And that's kentbizconnect.co.uk. And we've also got details of today's show guests on there as well. If you're an Ashford-based business or organisation and you have an interesting story to tell, we would love to have you on the show. So do please get in touch with us as well through one of our social media channels. Now, I believe it's Mental Health Awareness Week, if not month. And so we do have a very important theme to the show today. And we've wrapped that all up in a nice kind of cosy construction blanket as well. So we're going to be talking about mental health, not just in the construction industry, but certainly relevant to that as well. So I think without further ado, what we should do is ask our show guests to introduce themselves. To my left, we have
Ella Sandel. I'm head of communications and business development at Jenna Group. We're a main contractor based down in Folkestone.
Lovely to have you with us today, Ella. And to my right.
Hi, I'm Mark Chandler. I am a co-owner of Stonewells, a construction health and safety and risk management consultancy, but also the owner of Limuni, which is a business that delivers talks about resilience.
Brilliant. And Mark, you're going to be sharing your very personal story with us today as well. So thank you for joining us. I think what we're going to do now, we've got some music tracks. It's unusual for one of our show guests to have chosen all the music tracks, but that's what's happened this week. So we've got a couple of tracks chosen by Ella. We've got Titanium and we've got Chandelier featuring the wonderful Sia, obviously.
Kent Biz Connect, connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning into the Biz Connect radio show today. We're delighted to have two super guests with us in the studio this week. We have Ella Sandel from Jenna Group, locally in Folkestone, and we have Mark Chandler from Limuni. I'm meant to practice that. I'm just terrible with names. Limuni, Resilient Minds, and also Stonewells Health and Safety Consultants. So welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Lovely to have you with us today. I think what we'll do, Ella, if we can, is start with you. Tell us a little bit about the day job, please. I mean, you mentioned that you're head of communications at Jenna Group, a busy local main contractor in the construction industry. So give us a brief intro in terms of who you are and what you actually do on a kind of day-to-day basis.
Okay, well, I suppose every day is different, really, with my job. So head of communications, business development, it's quite a wide-ranging role and covers everything, brand, marketing, and probably more recently, hugely involved in social value, which is something we at Jenna have done for years before regulation told us to do it. We've always been going out to nurture skills, working in the community, delivering projects, litter picking, you name it, we do it, and we have done it for a long time, but now it's become a little bit more formalized within the industry and really important. So I get heavily involved in that. Normally, you know, if you can't find me having lunch with a client or a consultant, I'll be in a school delivering a careers talk to promote construction mm-hmm. industry to younger generations. But ultimately, the role is about, you know, maintaining the reputation of Jenna. We're 150 years old now, which is like an incredible achievement for any business. And it's making sure we have those skills coming through to safeguard the industry and our business, and just bringing forward a healthy pipeline of opportunity, which in today's climate is very challenging. Mm. But, you know, we just have to go out there and keep strong and keep finding those opportunities and winning the work and keeping building, really.
Yeah. Well, I think the key to all of that is energy. And you clearly have limitless energy when it comes to that. So that's you're perfect for the job. But you mentioned 150 years. I mean, I can't think of many businesses that have been around for 150 years. That's quite incredible, isn't it?
It's a huge achievement. So, 1875, we were founded in Folkestone, and where we remain today, the heritage of Jenner is hugely important in who we are today and about nurturing the people we have within. But we've grown and diversified over that time. I believe we started out as just builders and actually coffin makers back in the day, and then obviously grown and diversified over the years. Now we have a number of aspects to the business, really, covering groundworks and civils. We've acquired a mechanical contractor. We do glazing. We do joinery, as well as building all the bigger stuff that you see around Kent.
I wonder if that joinery business, is it Park Farm Joinery?
Park Farm Joinery, yes.
Spun out of the coffin business.
I guess so. Yeah, thankfully we don't do those anymore. But yeah, 100, it's a remarkable achievement. It's you know, challenging out there for any business, but I just, you know, we put it down to ties in perfectly with today's theme with Mental Health Awareness Week is resilience, and just having that steely determination to keep going no matter what challenges are thrown at you. And we've had quite a few of those over the years.
Yeah, of course. So what do you think your clients, I'm going to put you on the spot, what do you think your clients would say about you? I mean, what do they say about you in testimonials? Because, you know, traditionally construction projects are kind of, you know, there's so many variables, you know, whether it's COVID or the current kind of fuel crisis that kind of get in the way of, you know, a job being completed on time and on budget. What would your clients, you think, say about you?
Generally, and we do reach out for that feedback, and we get a lot of great feedback from our clients. It's, I guess it's integrity, really. It's doing business openly, honestly, having those relationships. Collaboration is the buzzword of the last century, but it's just literally, actually, yes, it is what we do. We work together. We're a team. We've got a common goal. And ultimately, we do a good job. And that's first and foremost what you have to do. We have to keep people safe. And again, that ties in with the theme. It's always been about physical safety, but now it's about mental well-being as well. That's really, really prominent within the construction industry. But yeah, ultimately, it's about delivering and doing what you say you're going to do. And we've always done that. So clients do come back to us time and time again. We've got a lot of repeat business, a lot of negotiated work, which is testimony, really, to that. Yeah, we build and we build well.
Yeah, and you're just doing the right thing, as you say.
Absolutely,
you know,
yeah.
If there's a problem, you kind of discuss it. You know, not,
absolutely,
not
it's that
it
open communication.
Yeah. Good, okay. So, I mean, incredible pressure in the construction industry at the moment. There's always massive pressure, you know, when it comes to firms being able to, you know, make a profit. I was at a construction networking event a while back, and a multi-billion pound contractor was there. And they were talking about just how narrow the kind of the gross margin on projects is. And, you know, they were talking about 1%. Mm-hmm. You know, they're working to a gross margin of 1%.
Yeah.
On a construction project. So they need to be turning over billions to make any kind of money anyway.
Yeah.
But I mean, you just imagine, you know, what could go wrong at any point, you know, late payment, whatever it might be, to kind of scupper.
It's exactly that, Martin. We are working to such a tight margin. And I think a lot of people out there wouldn't realise that. They just see, oh, big projects. You must be making, you know, a lot of money on that. And as you say, when you're working to such a tight margin, if there's no margin for error, really. No. If something goes wrong, there's not huge pots of contingency. So again, that's why we have to, you know, build properly well. But just in some projects, there is, you know, if you're doing a refurbishment, you've got a huge element of the unforeseen, and that makes that really difficult. But again, that's where it comes into that relationships with your clients, with your consultants, and that collaborative approach, so that you're working together. And if the challenges do come, and and they do, absolutely, we're in construction, that you can work together to resolve them. But no, it's really, really challenging. It's always been the case that margins are low, and then you get thrown a number of challenges from the economy, from politics, the landscape that we're in now with wars going on, Brexit. It's just made trading conditions incredibly tough.
Yeah, because a lot of what you do, I guess, is done on a fixed price. So you price sensibly, because there's no point in having a sort of race to the bottom on projects, which you sometimes find. But, you know, then something else comes along, and you've got site fuel, for example, you've got generators that you need to run on construction sites. And all of a sudden, the price of that has gone up, you know, 1.5 times. And you haven't factored that in necessarily.
I think we do more now. I think if anything, COVID taught us a great deal. Okay. I think before that, everyone was sort of ticking over quite nicely. Turnover was up, profits were up. It was quite going pretty well. And then COVID hit. And actually, if anything, we can take those lessons learned from COVID, i.e. how we price contracts going forward, that we have to build in a level of disclosed inflation now and have that open conversation with our client and look at the risk registers to make sure that we're protecting ourselves, because ultimately those clients need us here as a business that can continue to trade and continue to deliver their projects. That's again having that relationship and those open conversations. But yeah, we have to build in an element, but again, it's very difficult, because if you build in too much, it's about value and pricing competitively. It's still very tough out there to win work, so you can't price yourself out of the market. So it's about just trying to get it right, really. Yeah. Protect ourselves, but deliver best value for our clients. Yeah.
And again, that's where that kind of relationship comes in. It's about being able to have that open conversation with a client and perhaps say, look, we've built in this amount of contingency for unforeseen items like fuel, for example.
They understand now, though, because of COVID and all the challenges we've had of the last few years, they understand now that we can't predict with the level of inflation, materials increases, fuel, as you say, so challenging. So they're well aware, they want to work with us to make sure the end goal is achievable.
And always better to over budget than under budget, I would suggest, on a construction project.
Yeah, that would be nice if we could do that, Martin. But again, it's about winning the work.
Okay, so we've talked about Genergroup, we've talked about your incredible heritage and history and your kind of ethos and what sets you apart. But I know you you're incredibly busy outside of that kind of day-to-day world as well. I think you're co-chair of something called the Kent Construction Focus Group. So tell us a little bit about that, if you can.
So the Kent Construction Focus Group is part of the Kent Invicta Chamber of Commerce, and it's the support group that was set up many years ago to basically nurture local businesses within the construction industry. So you have to be based in Kent, you have to be in construction. And I think it came about when there was a project in Ashford that was going to be delivered by a contractor from up north, and there was no local supply chain. And I think a number of people sort of got together and thought, hang on a minute, we need to do something about this. We've got lots of good local businesses right here on the doorstep. We want to champion them and make sure they have this opportunity available to them. So a group set up, and I think it's been going for well over 20 years now. And I've done a stint of 14 years of that as chair, and now a co-chair with Cheryl Corsbrook, my sort of partner in crime, so to speak. So we're a bit of a double act. But yeah, we're really focused on pushing that group forward, making sure it remains, because it's a special group. It is about those relationships and helping each other, and building the long-term relationships to work together, and even if that's not directly, you might recommend someone to somebody else. So it's a really, really good group, and we're constantly trying to bring in new blood and keep members coming back, and we get some really good speakers as well about topical issues, what's going on in the industry, key developments. So we get about 60 people at a time. Some speakers might draw in a few more people, but generally we've got a good group, and we meet the first Tuesday of every month in Maidstone.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and as you say, there's nothing worse than seeing opportunities locally go outside of the kind of the immediate area through you know, a lack of procurement awareness or whatever that might be.
Yeah, you wonder how they can come down and win that work so competitively. But again, it's not just about price. And that's what we try to educate clients on, is that, it, you know, sometimes what looks like best price absolutely isn't in construction. So it's about value and delivering and giving back and make sure you're delivering the quality as well. And now the social value. And what are you going to give back to the community as a contractor as well? And we fear that sometimes people from out of patch don't do that. And they don't necessarily care as much about reputation, because if it goes wrong, they can just disappear back up north. So, but we can't do that. And that's why we've been around for 150 years, because you care about your reputation.
Well, and as you say, social value is all about championing the local economy and community and environment and bringing all of that together. And I think Lower Thames Crossing, you know, that project will be a great example of that in terms of that kind of local supply chain engagement.
Yeah, absolutely.
Road shows.
Yes, yeah, we've had them at KCFG. The they've been in a couple of times to talk. Yeah. They are generally really committed to making sure local businesses are engaged.
Good. Okay. Now, I can't let you go today without telling us also about the charitable work that you do with Donations with a Difference. So tell us a little bit about that if you can.
So Donations with a Difference, we're over 10 years old now, but I suppose we've kind of raised in prominence in more recent years. So I'm a trustee, one of five volunteers. We raise money that all goes into the pot, you know, as volunteers. There's no overhead, so every penny raised goes to help other people. It could be physically impaired, to help mental well-being. And we also partner with a number of sort of smaller local charities, and just really to help, you know, those who are vulnerable, those who are struggling with disability. We might provide specialist medical equipment. I know I'll be drawing with Mark here. When Mark was unwell recently, we reached out and we provided a lot of equipment and products to help nurses at Kent and Canterbury Hospital, what they might need. We help children, adults. There could be, as an example, that we had a teenage boy who'd never walked. We were able to get him a motorized chair that actually made him stand up, so he could almost walk alongside his friends. And just the physical and mental impact of that is really special. So people will apply to us for grants. We review it as a committee of the five trustees, and sort of yes or no, but obviously there's a lot of effort that has to go into raising the actual money to be there to provide those grants, which is why we do golf days, gala balls. We rely on people. We just had four people running the London Marathon for us.
You did it with your husband a couple of years ago.
I did,
you?
Yeah, 2024 we ran that together. And he ran for Donations with a Difference. And yes, he raised a huge substantial amount. I think it was about £25,000 for our charity, which is just phenomenal. When you see then the impact of what that's going to do to help people, and our work is described as life-changing, and as it says on in the title, Donation with a Difference, we are out to make a difference, and that's what amazing. We do.
So any spaces left on the golf day? Is it in June?
It's June, 12th of June, over at the Cave Golf Resort in Borton. And yes, we do have a couple of teams left. I mean, I'll always say yes, and I'll just they'll despair at me when we've got, you know, over 25 teams. But no, we're always, they don't mind. It's all for charity. But no, if anyone's interested, then obviously please do get in contact. We'd love to have them there. It's a great day targeted to the construction industry, but it's about having fun and raising money for the charity.
And you've got your ball coming up in November again.
Yeah, Friday the 13th. So don't take anything, but 13 is my lucky number. So that's, I'm going to spin it and say, come out on Friday the 13th and have a great party with us. And last year we raised £100,000. So we've got to try and beat that.
Amazing. Okay, so quick shout out for websites. Jenna Group.
That is, oh crikey, you're putting me on the spot now. I should know this, I've been there 9 years. So www.jenna-group.co.uk.
DWAD.
So that is literally www.dwad.org.
Fantastic. And Kent Invicta Chamber, if people want to find out about
I'd say Google that one. If you Google the Chamber or Kent Construction Focus Group, I think it's probably just kcfg.co.uk. But it's all through the Chamber of Commerce. There's great people there within the team who do sort of all the behind the scenes work for us. So they'll, if anyone's interested, if they're in construction in Kent, please do get involved. It's a great group, and just contact the Chamber and they'll help you.
Brilliant. Ella, thank you so much for that whirlwind
There's so much to discuss, isn't there?
Of information all about Jenna's and Donations with a Difference. That's fantastic. So I think what we're going to do now, we're going to play another one of your music tracks. We've got Snow Patrol and Run. And then when we come back, we're going to have a chat with our second guest, and that's Mark. So do stay with us, and we'll be right back after this.
Kent Biz Connect on Radio Ashford with Martin White.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Biz Connect radio show today. We've got two super guests with us in the studio. We've just been talking with Ella Sandel from local construction firm Jenna Group. And now I'm delighted to welcome our second guest to the show today, and that is Mark Chandler. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Unlike Ella, you're not a seasoned pro when it comes to being on my radio show.
No.
But it's great to have you with us. So well done for kind of stepping up and going for it, as it were. Now, I know, and we mentioned at the top of the show that it's Mental Health Awareness Week, and you have a very personal journey that you're going to share with us today when it comes to that. But let's start, if we can, with your kind of day job, because you work in the construction industry as well. So tell us a little bit about your consultancy business, which is Stonewells Health and Safety.
Yeah, so Stonewells has been going 13 years, so slightly less time than Jenna's 150.
You'll get there.
But, you know, we are getting there. And yeah, we specialise in construction and safety, construction health and safety. We also have a health and safety membership business for small and medium sized contractors, and we do a little bit of crisis management work born out of some experiences that the business has been through over the years, which actually dovetail quite nicely into why Limuni was born as well. But yeah, we are a CDM, construction health and safety specialist consultancy. So we work with architects, engineers and designers and contractors to make sure, you know, what is put down on paper can be built, used, maintained and ultimately demolished and dismantled safely. And that's the sort of core of what Stonewells is. We operate throughout the UK. We do have a lot of work in the northwest in the industrial sector, and throughout the Midlands, and then in Kent and London as well. So we're sort of local firm, but with a national reach.
I must share some pictures I took of a recent trip to Thailand, where they were changing the scaffolding on a new condo complex, which is, you know, which was kind of level with my floor, which was the 58th floor in a condo, and I'm looking across. And there's guys hanging off scaffolding, building it as they go. I mean, with a little kind of clip that they move now and again.
I mean,
unbelievable. But it's moved on in this country, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Incredibly. Leaps and bounds since, you know, the 1974 was Introduction to Health and Safety at Work Act. And then the CDM regulations came in 1994. You know, the industry has made massive strides since then. Helped a lot with innovations, you know, through technology and other things, and lessons learned as well. There's still lots we can do because, you know, accidents happen. There are still obviously gaps in all the models, the old Swiss cheese model, line up all the bits of cheese and the line runs straight through. There's still work to be done, but that's the nature of construction and life, really. Things happen.
Absolutely. So let's talk about that. Let's move that on, because you know, we were talking off air about your busy life, you know, working all hours, eating bad food, neglecting loved ones, and you know, all of that came to a bit of a grinding halt, didn't it, one day? So tell us what happened exactly.
Well, I you know, I've spent a lot of time growing this business, trying to grow the business, just and working hard within that, working long hours, and I neglected loads of stuff in my own physical health. I stopped training. I didn't take care of my own body. I, you know, a lot of times put work first before my family, and in one week in September 2024, I played three rounds of golf, which is rare for me, but it was all construction networking golf. So, you know, I got involved to represent the company and catch up with people. At the end of the third round on the Friday, I sat in the bar and my shoulders hurt, you know, right across my shoulder blades from, you know, left to right, right to left. But nothing more than I thought. I've played three rounds of golf. I probably just pulled some muscles. I got through to Wednesday, but But Sunday afternoon, Monday and Tuesday were really, I wasn't in a good place. And I phoned the doctor on first thing Wednesday morning. They advised me to go to A&E because they thought at that point I would describing a blood clot on the lung.
Oh, gosh.
I went to A&E, and about 5-6 hours later, they said, you can't go home. We think you have suspected lung cancer, suspected blood clot on your lung. You've tested positive for COVID, but you've also got like a respiratory illness, a bit like pneumonia, but not pneumonia. And your blood cell counts are all over the place. The next day, I got transferred to what turns out to be the haematology unit at Brabourne Ward at Canterbury Hospital. And a few days after that, I got diagnosed with something called acute myeloid leukemia, so blood cancer. Mine just happens to be particularly rare. About 3,200 people a year in the UK are diagnosed, and it's really, really aggressive. And my variant was particularly aggressive. And then life sort of stopped. And yeah. And then my journey sort of started from there, really.
Yeah. Gosh. So, yeah. I mean, you know, when you've kind of, you've obviously had a lot of time to kind of rationalise this in your own mind and think through it. Do you think the lifestyle choices that you made when you were, you know, building the business, when you were working all those hours, do you think that had a direct impact on your kind of physical well-being? I mean, it's very difficult to link the two.
Well, I naturally thought that, and, you know, what have I eaten, what have I drunk over the years as well. But you know, cancer's indiscriminate.
Exactly.
Lifestyle patterns, behaviour doesn't really have an influence on AML, which is what I've obviously got. Ultimately, how I lived my life up until that point had no bearing on me catching AML. The consultant said to me that I've had a rogue cell, that mutated, and then it mutates, and then suddenly you've got a high percentage of cancerous cells in your system, and there you go.
But what it did do was kind of put you in a place where, you know, mentally, you had to kind of deal with all of that. You had to kind of think about family and, you know, and you had to think about income and, you know, how am I going to provide? And so it was a really difficult time for you. And, you know, when we talk about kind of mental health and resilience and all of that, you've kind of been through it and had to kind of learn, haven't you, as you've gone along?
Well, yeah, because things took a really awful turn, you know, not long after being diagnosed. I had two failed rounds of chemotherapy and the second round being really intensive. And I had to achieve a certain percentage of cancerous cells to be able to have a stem cell transplant too. That was the only thing that was going to allow me to survive. I missed that. And therefore, I received a terminal prognosis on the 13th of December, 2024. And then was given the news that I, between 2 and 4 weeks, anticipated to live. And then 3 days after that, my youngest child, my daughter, turned 4. 3 days after that, my wife, well, my girlfriend at the time, Stina, and I got married in hospital with 4 hours notice. Then I had an appointment at the hospice on Christmas Eve. It's ready to go in at some point after Christmas. And then we had Christmas Day. And then I didn't go into the hospice because I didn't need to at that point, but I was expecting to. And I just happened to live a little bit longer than they forecast. And then I went back to hospital. And then things progressed from there. But in all of that time period, kind of September through to early January, I had loads to contend with from a mental resilience point of view. Had issues with my income protection insurance. I literally just stopped working in the business. There was lots to contend with. You know, my kids, one was 3, one was 12, one was 17. They all had their own challenges, their own little lives that they were dealing with. My wife had to care for me, be there for me, but also go home and do bedtime and bath time for the 3-year-old and, you know, get my middle son ready for starting secondary school, or he was in his first term at secondary school. So, you know, there was a whole load in the melting pot that we had to deal
with. Pressure and stress and, you know, a time when you least needed it, really. But, you know, on a kind of, on a positive side, you've come through that now. you're not working, obviously. You're not able to go back to work. And luckily, you have got people in the business managing the business for you.
Yeah.
But it's born something else out of all of that, hasn't it? Yeah. And that's Limoney.
Yeah.
So yeah. Tell us the thinking about that and what that's there ultimately when you are able to get back to work, what you'll be able to do there.
Well, Limoney, as soon as I got into remission, you know, I'm not the kind of person that stands still in life. I never have done. I've always been quite, you know, ambitious and involved, wanted to do things. And I just reflected on what I'd been through with leukemia. And 10 years ago, I was witness to an accident on a demolition project in the industrial sector where a building partially collapsed and four people sadly lost their lives. And, you know, I was there, I watched it happen, and that was really profound. I had to steer the business, which was a relatively newly formed business at that point, and myself through the aftermath of that. You know, and it was a single person business, no HR department, no legal department, you know, no PR department, you know, no support around me at all, in terms of the departments and department heads to call on. And there were issues with my insurance company. I didn't notify them, in their eyes at the earliest opportunity, but in my eyes, it was my first opportunity, and therefore there were threats of not covering me for insurance. I had two cancer scares that year myself. I was going for a divorce. My sister was really unwell. There were just loads of things in that melting pot. And when I'd come through and got into remission from leukemia, I looked at those two incidents, the accident at the power station and leukemia, and I thought, you know what? I think I'm pretty well placed to talk about resilience now. And also in between that was COVID, and I was consulting for another firm, and I led that firm through their response to COVID. They were 160 person strong business split over four sites, and therefore I don't talk about COVID from a resilience point of view, but I do feel that I'm well placed to do that. Yeah. So I set Limoney up with the sole aim of just delivering talks about resilience, you know, and that's where it's come from. Yeah. It's also a bit dovetails with some of the stuff we do at Stonewalls around crisis management, where we've helped clients come through an event that's had an impact on balance and balance sheet and sort of,
yeah, of course,
public image. So yeah, that's where Limoney's come from. Brand and balance sheet integrity. Yeah, that's what I was trying to say.
I think, you know, the one thing that strikes me about all of us, doesn't matter where we are, whether it's, you know, this country or overseas, ultimately, you know, we're all human beings, and we all have, you know, we all share the same angst, and we all have the same problems. Doesn't matter where we live in the world. And so, you know, having somebody like you to be able to kind of talk to us and say, look, you know, when the going gets tough, you know, actually, you've got more in reserve than you think.
And, oh, yeah.
And this is what you need to do, and this is how you need to focus.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, one thing I've learned is that I know I was always quite mentally strong. I'm quite a strong-willed person, you know, stubborn sometimes. But from a resilience point of view, I think many people are stronger than they think they are. But unfortunately, that's never tested until it's tested.
Yeah.
And hopefully it won't be tested for a lot of people. But I think you are inherently stronger than you think you are. Yeah. And also, you know, you have to find your why. You know, why is it important for you to fight and to search for hope and see that light at the end of the tunnel? And then, you know, be adaptable, be optimistic, lean on people, seek out solutions to support yourself and support what you're going through, support your family. And then just keep focused, keep determined, and be a bit single-minded in your pursuit of trying to get through.
Yeah, that's amazing. Great advice. Yeah, and don't bury your head in the sand, you know, because, you know, it's important to get help, as you say, and look for advice. But ultimately, it comes down to you, doesn't it, and your own resilience as an individual.
Yeah, It does, but there are plenty of support outlets available for people should they want to find them. But fundamentally, your approach and how you deal with things starts within your own self.
Yeah.
But it is essential that you lean on people around you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you can't get through something as significant as a cancer diagnosis on your own.
Yeah. Well, that will all be incredibly inspirational when you're able to get out there and talk about that. Yeah. And initially, I guess you'll be kind of targeting maybe construction sector because that's where your network is. And
yeah, that's exactly right. Mm. Yeah, I you know, I've been speaking to a number of potential clients, contractors mainly, because they're you know, that the accident at the power station affects construction professionals, impacts them, and impacts their thinking, how they approach things. And then obviously the leukemia thing can, that's not industry specific obviously, but yeah, I'm hoping to utilize my network within construction to help deliver talks to their organizations, whether that's their mental health first aider team, their C-suite, their leadership team, their site managers, project managers, whatever it, contracts managers, whatever it might be. I'll speak to people because it's important for me to raise awareness and hopefully inspire some people. It's quite triggering talking about cancer for different people, so I want to try and put across my story that will hopefully inspire people to see there is hope when they may not feel there is hope.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I know you haven't got a website up and running yet for Lumini, but give us a shout out for Stonewells.
Well, we've got, although there isn't a website for Lumini, there is an Instagram page, which is Lumini_resilient_minds. But Stonewells is stonewells.net, and then our Instagram page is STWS Consultancy, and then we have a LinkedIn page as well.
If you search, and you're on LinkedIn, so
I'm on LinkedIn. Yeah,
connect with you about happy, all of that.
Yeah, more than happy for anyone to connect and reach out. Just because we aren't actually physically trading as Lumini at the moment, you know, I'm keen to talk to as many people as possible because at some point later this year, perhaps in the summer, back in the summer, my intention is to go back to work, albeit probably not on a full-time basis, in a very different capacity, and just start helping people.
Yeah, yeah, love it. Great stuff. Okay, I think what we're going to do now, we've got one more music track to play, and then when we come back, I'd like to bring the two of you together just for some closing thoughts, if we can. So do stay with us, and we'll be right back after this.
Kent Biz Connect on Radio Ashford with Martin White.
Welcome back to the final part of the show today, everybody. We've had two inspirational people with us in the studio today, and I hope you agree that Mark's story was really something to give us all food for thought, I think, in terms of our own lives. Not just how we kind of live our lives day to day, but, you know, how we deal with adversity on a mental health level. Guys, if we can, what I need to do is just wrap up the show with some closing thoughts. So, Ella, over to you quickly. What are the things that people need to be looking out for in the construction industry on a networking level? What's happening in terms of charity events that you're running? What's going on?
Well, as I spoke about, we've got various charity events which link into the construction industry. So our golf day on the 12th of June and our gala ball on the 13th of November, both opportunities to network with construction professionals, but also have fun and fundraise, really. So they're on the agenda. We've got the Kent Construction Expo coming up in October again. Yeah. That's kind of the big event for the construction industry each year. So I think that's really important that businesses are there. But generally, obviously, we're here in Mental Health Awareness Week, and I just think we have to, being in construction, really take that seriously. At Jenna, we've got mental health first aiders. We're really concerned about what is happening in our industry, and the tougher things get, the worse it could potentially get. I think we've made sort of great strides forward. But it, to me, it's about breaking down that macho culture that exists, and that I've got to take it all on my shoulder because I'm a man and man up and all those things. But for me, I'm a mass champion of females in the industry. So if I'm championing females for equality to the same level as men, I think it's got to work the other way, and men have got to be there's no stigma and there's no lack of career progression if you speak up and say I'm struggling. And it's just saying to people out there, just check in with a colleague. You just don't know the difference that will make. And just knowing they've got someone that they can turn to, really. Because again, as Mark said, we all deal with situations differently. And sometimes you can cope with the situation and other days you just can't So look out for each other.
And that applies to any industry, obviously. Absolutely. Not just construction. And Mark, just your kind of closing thoughts in terms of you know, what to look out for in terms of your space?
Well, I think if you want to know more, reach out to me on my social media accounts, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, whatever it might be, or Limuni. But also, I've set up in collaboration with a friend of mine who's also got cancer, something called the Weekend Walking, Talking Cancer and Coffee Club, which is a get together and a walk every second Saturday in the month. So we had our third event on Saturday just gone. We meet in Sandgate at 9 o'clock at a particular coffee shop, have a coffee and a catch up, and then we just go for half an hour, 40-minute walk in one direction along the seafront, and then come back. And it's really a chance for people to get together and talk everything or nothing about cancer and illness and cancer or illness, or talk nothing about it at all. Walk as far or as little as you want, grab a coffee, but mainly be around people who understand you.
I love that.
You know, we've had a growing number of people at each of the walks. So the second and third walk, we've had more each time. Hopefully that will keep going. But if people want to come and find a space where mentally they can sort of be accepted, then please join. Please look out for that. If you search Walking Talking Cancer and Coffee Club, you'll find it on Instagram.
I love the sound of that. Fantastic. Guys, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you both with us today and sharing your knowledge and insight into all things mental health and construction industry as well. We have got to close the show. We are running over into the news. I'm not sure we will be back in 2 weeks' time because I think it's a bank holiday. So I'll need to get back to you on that. But at some point in the near future, we will hopefully be back on air again with you. So thank you so much to our listeners for tuning in today. And thank you to our show guests, Ella and Mark.
Thank you.
Thanks for being with us. And we'll be back with you again soon. Bye for now.